Good evening. Good to see everybody out this evening. A wonderful time of prayer as always. Just a blessing to come into the presence of the Lord. And speaking of prayer, we're actually going to be looking at a prayer. And so if you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. And we're not going to by any means exhaust this entire prayer, but just one aspect of it that really spoke to me recently. So when you think of the word glory, what comes to your mind? Heaven? Anybody else? You think of the word glory. What's that? God? Think about God. Okay. Anybody else? It's kind of broad, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of aspects, there's a lot of applications to that, the word glory. Just a couple of verses when we think about, you might think about the glory of God, as was mentioned. There's a verse in Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens declare the what? The glory of God. You think about the greatness of the heavens and the creation, and that's a testimony to the awesome glory of God. Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. That's how glorious he is. His glory is above and beyond the heavens. The glory of God. But have you ever thought about, think about also Moses. Remember the situation with Moses when he asked to see the glory of God? And the Lord said he couldn't see his face, but he would pass by. And when that happened, you remember what Moses did is he fell on his face. And he bowed in worship as he was confronted with the glory of God, even in a partial expression of that glory. So the glory of God is an awesome subject to think about. Have you ever thought about the glory of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think that's what struck me as I was reading through John 17 recently, and a particular verse that we will be coming to in just a little bit. But to think about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, here in John 17, there's three things that I'd like to think about with respect to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's start by reading verses 1 through 5. And the first thing that I'd like for us to think about is his pre-incarnate glory, his eternal glory, his glory of his perfection that he has always had from the beginning. And so John 17, beginning in verse number 1, says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. And of course, this refers back refers to the time when his work would be complete, when he would fulfill what he had come to do, going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world and being raised again and ascending back to the Father. The completion of this work would bring glory to God, but also it would lead to him being glorified himself, as we just read in that verse. So verse number 2, we'll continue reading, and it says, As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And so we see there that the life and the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ is what brought glory to God the Father. His very work, his very life. But look in verse number 5. He says, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And of course, this is referring to that eternal glory, that glory that he had from before the foundation of the world. And so he's asking the Father, he says, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was His eternal, His divine, His pre-incarnate glory. And so he's praying about that here in this verse. But now let's go on to think about in verse number 1, as he's talked about that glory. I believe verse number 1 is speaking of a different glory that he has. And I would suggest that this is speaking of his acquired glory. And we'll dig more into that in just a minute. But to think about the glory that God gave to him is what it says. The glory that God gave to him as a result of that work that he would finish by going to the cross, living that sinless, perfect life here on earth, paying in full the penalty of the sins of the whole world, and rising again in victory over sin and death and the grave. And he said that his hour had come, in verse number 1, his hour had come when he would do that. And he said, glorify me with that glory. So go down to verse number 10. When we get down to verse number 10, and I'm kind of going through this rather quickly for sake of time, because we could really dig into this, but in verse number 10, in this section, he's now praying for his disciples. He was praying for himself in verses 1 through 5, and God to be glorified. In this particular section, now he's praying for his disciples, the 11 disciples that were there. In verse number 10, he says, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And to think of these men, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, being glorified in these 11 men. And we'll think more about that as it relates to us in just a few minutes. But August Van Ryan, he wrote a really good little summary of verses 1 through 5, kind of coming together with thinking about these two kinds of glory. His pre-incarnate, eternal glory that he had from before the foundation of the world, and also his acquired glory from the finished work that he completed by going to the cross and paying the penalty for sin and rising again in victory over sin and death. And so this is what he says. This is how he says it. He says, these verses bid us to look at Christ as the eternal Son who laid aside his glory to come to earth in order that he might glorify God in the world, though he was defied and dishonored by man. In his life and in his death, he finished the work which the Father had given him to do. He rose victoriously and has been placed on the very pinnacle of power by the Father with his own intrinsic Godhead glory restored to him, with the added glory as the victorious conqueror. And he says, that glory he won on the field of battle, defeating sin and all the powers of evil. And then he goes on to say, we trace Christ in these first 5 verses in the mighty journey from the throne on high down to Calvary's death of woe and then back again to the throne. What a good picture that is thinking about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate glory, but then also in this acquired glory, as it were. So you might be thinking, well, what does all this have to do with us? And that's where I really was spoken to and challenged as I looked in this passage of Scripture. Because if you'll go down to verse 20, in verse number 20, now we come into the section where the Lord is now in his prayer. He's praying for us. He's praying for those who would believe through the disciples' word, and eventually, of course, that includes us right here today. All right, so verse number 20, what does he say? I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Once again, you and I. But look at verse number 21. What does he pray? Verse 21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And listen to this. and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Let me read that again. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Have you ever thought about that before? When I read that, I was like, how can that be? How could that possibly be? The glory that God had given Christ, he says and he prays that he has given that glory to who? To us who believe today. Can you take that in? I mean, that is an incredible thought to put in our minds. In verse 22, whose glory is he referring to? He's referring to his glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did this come from? God gave him this glory, is what it says. As a result, his acquired glory of the work that he accomplished. So, what did Christ then do with this acquired glory? Is he shared it with us. The shared, that's what I want to think about for a minute, is the shared glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory that he shares with us. He says, I have given to them. And so he's praying for us who would believe in the future, and he says it in a way that he says he has already given it to us. Think about that. He has already given it to us because as he's praying for those who would believe in the future, which is us, but he's praying in a way is that he's already done it. It's already been given to us. Will he ever take away that gift? I believe the scripture answers that. James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Is he going to take that gift away that he has already given to us? I think the answer is very clear. In Romans 11:29, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. In Philippians 1:6, it says, he which has begun a good work in you will perform it, will bring it to completion. What a blessing to know these things, to think of what it means to be in Christ and to think that this glory, this acquired glory, he is sharing with people like us. What an incredible thing. What does that mean for us in time? I have several points that I wish I had time to go over, but I think that there's an application for us that it'll affect us, of course, while we're here in time to think about how he is transforming us, the Scripture says, from glory to glory, even now, while we're here. But then in the future, there's even more to think about the completion of all of that, that he's working in us. To think about in eternity, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, he says, in that day when we will see him and we will be like him. We will be like him, like the Lord Jesus Christ in that day when he comes back. And in Philippians 3:21 it says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed unto his, what? His glorious body. That's going to happen one day. One day, it's all going to be complete when he comes back and we're taken to be with him and he's transforming us now from glory to glory even while we're here, but that day is going to come when it's all complete. And to think of, to be like Christ, not only morally in that day, but even physically in that day, when our bodies are transformed to be like unto his glorious body. You know, it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory that shall be revealed in us one day. He's already given that to us. What an incredible thought. In Romans chapter 8, where he talks about being conformed to the image of his Son, he says, those he's called, those he's also justified, and those he's justified, he has also glorified. It's a done deal when we are in Christ. What a blessing to know what we have as our future. That he has this shared glory. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, listen to this. I wish we had time to turn there, but he says, to which he called you by our gospel. Listen to this. Listen to this, what he says. For which he has called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't even remember reading that before. Isn't that incredible to think of that? That's the reason, for the purpose of the gospel, in that sense, the ultimate goal of God's redemptive plan is that believers may have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of having the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? I've never thought about that before. Maybe you have. Maybe you've seen that, but I've never seen that before. But just seeing it has it's exciting to see. If you look in a mirror, I know when I look in a mirror, I tell you, I see an unworthy, undeserving sinner who's deserving nothing but the judgment of God. But when we're in Christ, you know what he sees? He sees what he has already given us. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not fully recognized and completed while we're here on this earth, but it's going to. It's going to come to that day when it will be. It'll be fully realized in us one day. Man, it's amazing to think. What did we do? Well, we came short of the glory of God, didn't we? The Scripture talks about in Romans 1 about those who changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. That's the things that we did. And what did He receive from us? Our sins were laid upon Him on the cross. And He paid the penalty for our sins, was victorious, received that acquired glory. And so what does from us, He received our sins upon Himself. And what does He give us? His glory. Amazing, amazing to think about what the work of Christ has done in our lives as believers. In John chapter 3 and verse number 36, it says there, He says, he that hath the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And to think that what we were outside of Christ is that we were under the wrath of God. But when we get saved, He gives us the glory of Jesus Christ. What an amazing salvation that we have. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing this out, and it's all about Him. It's all about His glory. It's all about His glory. I'm going to have to come down to the last thing. There's some other scriptures I wish we had time to go into. But in verse number 24, look at verse 24. He says, Father, I desire. What does He desire? I desire. Remember, this is the Lord Jesus praying. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am. Think of the heart of the Savior. His desire is for us to be with Him. And when we're there with Him, what does He want to happen? He says that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me. That's that acquired glory. That's the glory that the Father gave Him. And one day, when we get there, think about it. In that day, when His eternal pre-incarnate glory is restored, as it were, unveiled, as it were, not only will we see Him in that glory, but we'll also see Him in that acquired glory, having been victorious over sin and death and the grave. And when we are around that throne, think about it. We'll be looking at Him. We'll be seeing that wondrous glory. Even if we were to turn our heads and to see another brother or sister around that throne, you know what else we'll see? The glory of Christ again. It's all about Him. It's nothing about us. And it's all for His glory. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've asked Joe if he wouldn't mind singing and even getting us one of the songs that I've enjoyed from our music team is speaks about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's become one of my favorites, actually. And so I've asked Joe if he would sing a few verses of that, and we'll join in on the chorus, hopefully.